Shalom. I want to welcome you to YahvahNotYahweh.com and YahvahYahweh.name. I'm Stefan Yah, and the message today is going to deal with such a variety of subjects to encourage those to continue and abide in the faith. We're the website across the street, and everybody's a little bit different, but we like to, like they say, take the scriptural side of things and share the word. We'll also be looking at the King James Version, only changing the common names to the correct ones that are in the underlying Hebrew or Greek scripture. And sometimes we'll be reading from the Tree of Life Version. And in the Old Testament, they did a really great job. The TLV does a great job on the Old Testament. And seemed like they didn't make, as far as I could tell, that many improvements in the New Testament, though. Maybe somebody else worked on that little project in the translation. But other than that, it sure was a good version. So let's start out in John chapter 1, talking about what the scripture is, where it's from, and who is Messiah. It tells us here in the first verse of John, that's the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's John chapter 1, and in verse 1, and most of us have heard this thousands of times, but it does say that in the beginning, way in the beginning of our beginning, was the Word. The Word was with Yahweh, or with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim. So that tells us that Yahweh is the Word, and these scriptures that we are hearing are Yahweh himself speaking to us. It doesn't have to be in red. No, it's just throughout the scriptures, the things that Yahweh wants us to be encouraged by and to obey and abide by. So in Romans now, in the so-called Newer Testament, the book of Romanos chapter 6, when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. You had no righteousness in you. What fruit had you then in those things whereon you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made freed from sin and become servants to Elohim, servants to Yahweh, you have your fruit unto being separated. And the end of that is everlasting life. Romans 6, 22 and 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Yahweh is eternal life. The gift of Elohim, eternal life through Yahusha Messiah. What shall we say then? We're back at verse 1 now. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that favor and grace may abound? Yahweh forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And what does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, Messiah said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? In other words, by attaining something, maybe by working on the Sabbath, but on the other hand, lose his own soul. And those who agree with the scriptures that we must continue in the word, we don't just make a one-time repentance at the altar and that's that. No, we continually walk in righteousness and purity and worship Yahweh as he loves us to do, as he delineates in the scripture, as he describes and lays out the plan for us in scripture, because he is the word. So Mark 8:36, it doesn't profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul. And then in Luke 9, from the Tree of Life Version, it says, for what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be cast away, or be a castaway? But we don't want to go that far. We don't want to go to the lowest denominator and try to see what we can get away with doing or not doing and still be saved. That shows an attitude being removed from Yahweh, not wanting to surrender and make him, how they say, Lord of your life, or master or husband of our life, that we're not surrendering our our will to him. And in 1 Peter, and if the righteous are scarcely saved, where shall the un-Yahveh-like and the sinner appear? That's found in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 18. And in Hebrew, it's pronounced and spelled Kepha with a K. 1 Peter or Kepha 4:18. So if the righteous, you want to scarcely be saved or be in the throne room with Yahweh, continually with him, or have the right to do that. I don't know what sort of plans he has for our going from one place to another. and fellowship, you say? And having fellowship with him, of course, in the purest of purest places in the heavens. We want a fellowship with him. But we'll move now to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins. So there's a condition here. People say, they spread this a motto that love is unconditional. There are no conditions at all to Yahweh's love. But on the other hand, we look up the scripture and the word if, the preposition if. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And hereby we know that if we know him, we keep his commandments. So that tells it all right there, whether or not we love him. And he that said, I know him, if a person says, I know him and keeps not his commandments, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keeps his word, in him verily is the love of Yahweh perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. And he that says he abides in him, abiding or continuing or being in the presence of Yahweh, if we say that, so he that says he abides in him ought himself, that's kind of worded backwards there, ought to walk himself even as he walked. So brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is, guess what? Is the word which you have heard from the beginning. That's found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7 now. And brethren, I write no new commandment, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. Chapter 5, here we go, turning the pages now. If in the old days, you could... through the scriptures, a man or woman would hold the scripture in their hand, or a young woman or man, and turning the pages to chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of Yahweh, the Son of Elohim, has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him, him that is true, even in his Son, Yahusha the Messiah. Yahusha, or in the Greek text, Yeshua. This is the true Elohim and eternal life. And the so-called Old Testament agrees with that. In Psalm 1, the very beginning of the Psalms, the very first words are like this. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the un-Yahveh-like, in the King James ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law he does meditate night and day. So, do we delight in Yahweh's word, and furthermore, specifically in his law, in his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, his privileges, his testimonies, and his precepts? That's the question. Hebrews 4, concerning that law, specifically, it contains in that... the Ten Commandment portion of the law in Exodus 20 before the rest of the law written in Exodus 21, 22, and 23. Exodus 20, the classic Ten Commandments, repeated in the New Testament over two dozen times, but Hebrews 4, there therefore remains a keeping of the Sabbath to the people of Yahweh. He specified a certain day, the seventh day of the week, and that's the New Testament. It doesn't matter whether it were from the old or the new. I could give you many other examples. That in Matthew 4:4, man must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Man must live by the word, and by the specifics of the word as well. Okay, so I titled that and put in the scripture. And then Revelation chapter 10. In the book of the Revelation, which is a great prophecy now, coming from John the Revelator. Revelation 10, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of Yahweh shall be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets. Well, the seventh angel sounds, and that's after the tribulation here, that we hear the seventh trumpet. And so that's the one spoken of in Thessalonians, where the last trumpet is sounded, that seventh trumpet. Then the dead in Messiah shall rise, and then we which were alive and remain in that time will not precede them, but we will follow them and enter into the pure city. Not directly to heaven, but directly to New Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, the pure city. Revelation 10:7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. And then Revelation chapter 11, verse 14, starting with 14 now, in the book of the Revelation. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly, and the seventh angel sounded. And there were great voices in heaven saying, quote, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our master and of his Messiah. He shall reign forever and ever, unquote. And the 24 elders which sat before Yahweh on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped Elohim. That is the one, Elohim with a capital E, saying, we give thee thanks, O Yahweh Elohim Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of Yahweh was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. So we're hearing Yahweh. We know that that's a sure word because it's in Scripture. It's Yahweh breathes through the prophets. This one prophet, of course, John the Revelator on the Isle of Patmos, taking a quick break, and then going to one of the scriptures will be coming up, will be Titus. But perhaps we'll read a little bit first of Jeremiah 16. But Jeremiah 16 then, and it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore has Yahweh pronounced all this great evil against us, or what is our iniquity? And continue on there in your scriptures. Look up the rest of that. Jeremiah 16:10. Then going to chapter 23 of Jeremiah, Yahu, and the burden of Yahweh shall you mention no more. That word burden there was probably mistranslated a little bit there from Hebrew into the King James, but it means the prophecy, normally it means, and the prophecy or the warnings of Yahweh shall you mention no more. For every man's word, see, they don't want to hear Yahweh's word is the context here. Every man's word shall be his burden, or his prophecy, or his own private prediction, which is wrong. For you have perverted the words of the living Yahweh, the living word, Yahweh of hosts, our Elohim. You know, we don't want to be guilty of that. You know, we want to be following Yahweh by the Spirit and not by man's letter and tradition. We don't want to even follow man's calendar. Let's follow Yahweh's calendar according to according to Genesis, Bereshit chapter 1. So now I'm looking for, here we go, Revelation, that seventh trumpet here is blown in chapters 10 and 11, the seventh and final trumpet. And as opposed to hearing voices, that we are not to hear our own voice assume that that's from Yahweh. Let's not have that trump the word of Yahweh. But that Yahweh's word takes precedence, takes priority. His word, the scriptures, take priority over what we think might be Yahweh saying. One of the things I hear from people is that they say, well, God has a sense of humor. And then they go on and proceed to act that out as what their God would speak in a humorous way, as if he were a stand-up comedian and, you know, like one of these television comedians or something. I don't know if they would go that far with the illustration, but it's bad enough to turn Yahweh into some sort of a flippant comedian, cheap comedian, and a bellhop. Titus chapter 1 now. Here we go. Now it's back to the scripture, not what I say. Chapter 1 verse 15. Unto the pure things are pure, unto the pure people, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know Yahweh, or an Elohim, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and under every good work reprobate. That is really the gist of the problem that we have here in Western America and worldwide now, which has led to us to the bondage which we have fallen at this point. And the government is requiring more and more to take control of our lives. But that's not something I'm complaining about. I'm just stating what they're trying to do, what they speculate, what they want to do and what they're going to get might be two different things when it comes to trying to put some unauthorized authority over Yahweh's people. Now, the next one is Timothy. Let's flip back here in a few pages to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And this word we read from Titus, I want to bring out here about the conscience being defiled. And it will talk about that a little more specifically. 1 Timothy 4, 1 in the King James, then from the Tree of Life. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. And a question would be here, how can you depart from something if you were never there in the first place? So that would contradict the false doctrine of extreme eternal security. Once saved, always saved, no matter what. And so 1 Timothy 4, 1, King James, now the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and the doctrines of devils. Then from the Tree of Life, that same verse reads like this, as hearing the word of Yahweh. Now the Ruach is the Spirit. The Ruach clearly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, following deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Oh, I'm going back to the King James, by the way. I don't know what the TLV, Tree of Life, said there. But having their conscience seared with a hot iron, the same thing we read in Titus there, only a little bit differently. But even their mind and conscience, is defiled. Then verse 16. In chapter 4, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. Well, that would seem to be a suggestion at this point, that Paul is just just hoping and that we'll continue in them. Well, let's continue and see what he says. So those under the doctrine continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear. So it's a very important thing. Very emphatically, we must continue and abide in Yahweh. Not just have a start to start following him and then we fall off. No, we must be consistently working our faith throughout. I can testify to walking opposite to Yahweh's way, because I've been in the limelight and the radio business all my life, and starting out in the secular world that way before I was saved, before I had any knowledge of the word of Yahweh, even though having been a religious teacher before all that. Matthew 11:11, Messiah speaks here, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist," or Yochanan the Immerser. "Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Well, it shouldn't be our aim or our goal to be the least in the kingdom of Yahweh anyway, or to compete with anybody for the bottom position. That seems to be our stance lately as we look at neo-evangelical Americans with not much of a spiritual backbone. So many are competing for the position of being least in the kingdom of heaven, and they might wind up either scarcely being saved or not at all, as we read there in the at the beginning of this podcast about if the righteous scarcely will be saved, what shall be the end of those that are not saved? So reading, having moved on now from Matthew 11 to we're going to flip back on our cell phones or through the pages to chapter 5:19. Messiah said, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments," well, that would be, what, the tenth commandment, I would assume to be the least, "one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now, this seems to be from the perspective of someone in heaven in the future, not that these people desiring the least position would even be there. As a new believer, we often think of our goal being to avoid hell and gain heaven. But that's a very deep, a very shallow relationship, a shallow commitment. While we mature, we're to actively pursue and worship the Most High and study to show ourselves unto Yahweh. Dreaming about going to heaven might be good, but in the worship service, we are at this point in this study, we're doing a wide, broad spectrum of our study and our walk in Yahweh, recognizing the teachings of baptism or immersion, repentance, to the thinking of the end times during the feast days at the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Kippur, the Feast of Atonement, and Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. Trumpets, by the way, is not properly called Rosh Hashanah, because that even according to Nehemiah Gordon and Nehemiah's Wall, that's a pagan concept to begin with. But there's the new year of Yahweh begins 6 months earlier in the springtime, not late in the fall. And it's a Jewish technot or tradition that the world was created in the autumn or the fall at the Feast of Tabernacles. It's only speculation. But so the proper word for this, if you look it up in the underlying Hebrew text, the proper words are Yom Teruah, a blasting, shouting and blasting of trumpets. Yahweh said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" The meaning of Lord of my life, that we often hear that phrase, the Lord of my life includes all the times that we need to be in Yahweh's presence in worship, as it were, in the Shekinah glory or in the throne room of Yahweh, when we're summoned to worship at the specific times of the Sabbath day, remembering the memorial, remembering the creation of the world by Yahweh there in Genesis chapter 1, and also looking forward to the 1,000 years millennial rest. We're to worship him in spirit and in truth. And during the feast days, we're also going to turn over our appetite and even romantic activities, especially in the bedroom. We're going to turn those over to Yahweh and only have our relationship with our spouses, not with just anybody, and pass strange diseases on to one another, but we're going to be single-minded toward our spouse, and not to be mixing with strange bedfellows, I think the phrase is. So he said, don't call me Lord, Lord, and still do not the things that I say. We're to do what he has delineated here, what he has called us to do, as to be faithful servants, faithful leaders in Yahweh's world. In the book of Malachi, one of the things of a faithful leader is to tithe that the doctrine and the gift and the command of tithing is still in place. It hasn't been done away with. It hasn't been abrogated. So Malachi 3, verse 10 and 11, he bids us, Yahweh bids us, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now wherewith saith Yahweh of hosts, if I won't open to you the windows of heaven. Well, if he were to open the windows of heaven, think of all the rain we've got here in our parched country. The windows, and pour out a blessing for you, that there shall be not enough room to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And we get rid of the liberals. And he shall not destroy, Yahweh shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahweh of hosts. Yes, we've got some kind of a tree out there that throws out her figs early, and they're worthless. They could just be used for recycling, I suppose. And we're not through yet. We're gonna keep going through that chapter 3. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Yahweh of hosts, Yahweh of armies, Yahweh Sabaoth. And verse 13, your words have been stout against me, saith Yahweh. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? What have we said? Well, you have said, it is vain to serve Yahweh. In other words, it's vain to observe the commandments, statutes, and judgments. It is vain to serve Yahweh, we say, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before Yahweh of hosts? And then he said in Matthew, going from Malachi to Matthew, which would be the next book there in your Protestant scripture, woe unto the world, many of because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Woe unto the world because of offenses, it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Oh, I think I didn't stumble over that the second time. Give no offense to the King of the universe, brother and sister, and web friend of mine, because Yahweh is the creator of all. When we are in his presence, we need to show deep adoration and respect. We're about 30 minutes into the podcast. We better hope that Yahweh is never offended, because if we live carelessly and presumptuously, we shall get these offenses coming against us. And it'll come very stout. Your words have been stout against me, he said, but his words will be very dogmatic and stout against us. Quite austere, in their nature. We don't want to be wound up being reproved. Amos is next, being reproved by the Almighty King of the universe, to whom we have to do with. And we must be properly prepared in attitude and in apparel, hopefully, if at all possible, in proper apparel before Yahweh. But that's not the intent of this message. But one scripture here only, and then back to Acts, or actually, initially, we'll be going to Measa, Acts. Amos 9:8 says, "Behold, the eyes of Yahweh Elohim are upon the sinful kingdom." Yes, that kind of sounds like an adjacent town around here, that many of the people are into forgetting Yahweh. Their conscience is seared with a hot iron, Romans 2:15. But Amos 9:8, "The eyes of Yahweh are upon the sinful kingdom, and I'll destroy it from the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith Yahweh." So he's not going to utterly destroy us. But part of our company is going to be wiped out. And we'll find ourselves in a very treacherous, uncomfortable, hurtful position. So a word to the wise is sufficient. All right, then, in the book of Acts, Measa, chapter 2, verse 38, we have the command here, very, very distinctive. "Repent and be immersed in the name of Yahusha Messiah." But if we just take that lightly, and we turn our backs on Yahweh, or we ignore, I guess is the word, if we ignore what he has told us to do, then we are as if our conscience was seared by this metaphor, a hot iron. Romans 2:15 and 1 Timothy 2:15 and Romans, "They which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another." So that starts out the concept of the being burned with a hot iron of our conscience. And then 1 Timothy 4, specifically verse 2, but verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." And what's the problem with that? Is that conditional or unconditional love? Yahweh's word says in Ezekiel now, in the so-called Old Testament, and the older part of the book anyway, back here in one of the great prophets, Ezekiel, Ezekiel 18, verse 20, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Just as simple as that. "He that sinneth is of the devil," Messiah said in 1 John. But Ezekiel 18, continuing, and then John, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." So, 1 John 3:8 quotes the Spirit that says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil." So that doesn't really matter who you're speaking of, whether it's a person who says that they're saved and filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues and uses a certain name for Yahweh or not. No, it's speaking to anyone. Whosoever could be another substitution for that word. He or whosoever commits sin is of the devil. And then, okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, and believers, 1 John 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of Yahweh sinneth not, but he that is begotten of Yahweh keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And in Malachi, back to Malachi, right before Matthew, where he will make up his jewels. Fear Yahweh and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Malachi 4. When Yahweh comes back, he said he will make up his jewels. Malachi, going to the previous chapter 3 and verse 17 here, and kind of jumping between chapter 4 and 3. 3:17, they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and discern between him that serves Yah and him that serves him not. By the way, that word Yah, where it's used without the Yahweh, just the Yod-Heh, is in the scripture in the Hebrew. And I have a preacher friend who insists that no, it's not legitimate, but no, there it is. You can look it up, and it's in the text. Remember you, the law of Moses, my servant, or the law of Yahweh, in the King James, the law of God. So that means the whole law, not just part of it, the first two commandments, or any, you know, all the law of Yahweh. Malachi 4:4, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, the statutes and judgments. Those are two different things. There's two different Hebrew words for statutes and judgments. It doesn't just mean the word of Yahweh in general, but specifically. And when you get to that word judgments, what it really does mean, if you look it up in your, say, for example, your Strong Armchair Concordance, you'll find out the word means privileges. And inside those privileges of Exodus 21 through 23, inside that mainly are the feast days of Yahweh that we're commanded to keep, namely the feast of Passover. And it is such a sad thing, we'll be going to Micah next, it's a sad thing to see people substitute for thousands of years, 2,000 years practically, have substituted the feast of Passover and that so-called Lord's Supper, or Last Supper or something like that. They're substituting that with the Sunday morning communion breakfast, that the sharing, the breaking of bread, and the drinking of the wine, which intrinsically would be nothing wrong with that, but by ignoring Yahweh's direct command to keep the feast of Passover, wash each other's feet, and break the bread, and drink the wine, and dedicate it to him in true fellowship with the Almighty One and with one another. That is the real command that we better get back to doing. If you know somebody at least who is ignoring this, and they say, well, I'm going to Sunday morning communion at my church, what quite often it's the Church of Christ, and they'll break the bread whenever it's scheduled to be at a convenient time. But no, the convenient time for Yahweh is the 14th of Aviv, sometimes called Nisan. So Aviv 14, the first month in the so-called spring, in the springtime, is the time to take of the Passover going into the day. So the night before, we keep Passover. But that's another horse of a different color. It's a whole different subject that we've already covered many times here on the website, YahwehYahweh.name. Now, Micah chapter 7 for one verse, and then Deuteronomy. Micah is found there in the so-called minor prophets. I'm sure you're using the word so-called a lot because they're not minor prophets. And it's not an Old Testament. The word is complete. The word is in harmony all the way from the left to the right, if you read the English that way. Micah 7, who is a Elohim like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Yahweh does, and his believers do. Now, in Deuteronomy or Deuteronomy 12:1, now these are the statutes, and thank you for joining us. Now here's this, not idiom, what's the other? Oh, well, now I've forgotten the word. Anyway, this phrase, the statutes and judgments. These are the statutes and judgments Remember Exodus 21, 22, and especially 23, which you shall observe to do in the land, which, now some will say, well, we're not in the land. Well, the Yahweh's, where is Yahweh's word? It's in your heart. So he dwells in your heart right now and in the body of Messiah as we're together. When you observe to do in the land which Yahweh Elohim of your fathers give thee to possess all the days that you live upon the earth, and you shall do you shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. In other words, hearing voices, and not to be, these voices we presume to be of Yahweh, are not to overpower or substitute for Yahweh's word. So something that's right in your own eyes is, I heard a voice, and it's infallible to me. No, the voices I hear, if I ever hear from Yahweh, that in that manner, do not supersede his word. Verse 9, for you're not yet come to the rest, and to the inheritance which Yahweh your Elohim giveth you. No, of course, we're only in the betrothal time with Yahweh right now. We're not the marriage with Yahweh and Yahusha his son, not been consummated yet. The consummated time will be at the great supper, the wedding with Yahweh in New Jerusalem. Then in Judges and Joshua, Judges 21, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Joshua 24, having to do with our not making up our mind to serve Yahweh fully and going to all kinds of conflicting fellowships. We go to this church and that church maybe, and we hear the truth here, but then we go to one who might speak against the truth and says the law was done away with, tithing, tongues, baptism. It was all done away with. Everything is done away with. Joshua 24:15, if it seem evil unto you to serve Yahweh, choose you this day whom you shall serve, whether the Elohims which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the Elohim of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. We'll serve Yahweh. Joshua 24:15. So don't do that which is just seems right in your own eyes. Judges 21:25 or Deuteronomy 12:8. Every man doing that which he thinks, assumes to be Yahweh's voice, but live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth, not by bread alone. By attending two conflicting teachings, or two different conflicting churches, we wind up being the same as this in 1 Kings 18:21, or the one we just read there in Joshua 24. But where is it? 1 Malachim 18:21. That's chapter 18. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long will you halt between two opinions or two teachings? If Yahweh be Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. Lord or Yahweh? Jesus or Yahusha? Or the scripture says Joshua, or other variations. So shall we serve Yahweh or Lord? Shall we serve Yahusha Messiah or Jesus, commonly called Jesus, or Yezu in the Roman language? Are we just here for the protocol that whoever is leading will just do whatever? And we're just here for the game? Well, Habakkuk has something here to address that in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16. And another again, the minor prophet Habakkuk. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops, his armies. Yes, it's time to discard the old legends and takanot and baggage like the pagan holidays and pagan names and common names and weird legends and beliefs such as the Sasquatch or Bigfoot. Throw it all away for Yahweh, leaving those things behind and moving forward in the Word with Yahweh. So Habakkuk 3:16, my belly trembled. He came upon the people. He will invade them with troops. And I looked for rest in the day of trouble. You know, the scripture says that the wages of sin is death. The rewards of heaven is eternal life. So Hosea 14:4, though, we hear in this another prophet. Hosea 14:4 in your Protestant Old Testament. Hosea, by the way, the last syllable is Yah, Yod, Yod-Heh. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him, from the rebellious backsliding one. I will heal their backsliding, he said. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. Yes, we are becoming a prosperous people, a prosperous nation. We had a great leader in America, but he didn't know how to do crowd control too well, so they didn't put him back in as president. And somebody from outer space, I think, took over. Jeremiah 16:10, it shall come to pass when thou shalt, Jeremiah, it'll come to pass when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath Yahweh pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? That we read earlier here at the beginning of the presentation. Jeremiah 16. And then in Yochanan, that's the New Testament, the Apostle Yochanan, chapter 6, verse 35, and quoting Messiah, who said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I am that bread of life. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall, in other words, at the Passover time, eating that unleavened bread, I believe, and if any man eat of that bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Once again, Yochanan 6:51 there. Then finally, in Romans, as we take a break now on this late Sabbath day here in the Yahweh studios, and look forward to speaking to you again, or at least hearing and reading your letters of encouragement, and that you are actually there listening with a real purpose. So please drop us a line at stephanyah@yahweh.name. We're going to Romans 6 to finish off here. And then maybe a little bit of nice music from who's that singer? We might hear something pretty nice after this here, but Yahweh only wants us to sing. Vonda Bierman. See if you can get that out of the vault there. Romans 6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now if we be dead with the true Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with him. That's Romans 6:8. Shalom. Thank you.
The preacher made a call. You felt the urge to come as they sang, I surrender all. But a voice of doubt inside your heart said you had wandered much too far to ever ask for grace, and a tear ran down your face. But I choose you. reaching out with me.